sagt, vi fortsätter i Romarbrevet.
As I said, we're continuing in Romans, chapter 14.
Och vi är i den delen av Romarbrevet där vi...
And we're in that part in Romans where we can see how we can live out the Christian faith and how we should do that in our congregation at church. And Romans is supporting that. So we're going to look back to chapter 11. So we will start the sermon with a brief summary to start off the context of the sections in Romans where we find ourselves. So he's reading chapter 11, the last verses from chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is how Paul ends chapter 11. And this is a summary or response to everything he has written so far in Romans in the first 11 chapters. From chapter 1 through chapter 11, Paul has described the gospel to the church in Rome. How God has powerfully and graciously worked in their lives through Jesus Christ. His response to the good news is expressed through those final verses he read in chapter 11. And the purpose for us as Christians is that we should join in this worship together with Paul. And as a response to this, to these good news, is that we're called to live according to the exhortation that follows immediately in chapter 12, verse 1 till 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It is in this context that we must read the rest of Romans, which deals with how we live out our faith. As a response, how we, our holy sacrifice, pleasing God, how we should live as Christians. To be a holy sacrifice, that Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and that he conquered death, giving us eternal life through his resurrection. This should influence everything about how we live our lives, and especially within the church. As we have seen in the previous sermons, in today's passage, we will see how the gospel should shape the unity of the church. Because God has loved us and welcomed us into his family so that we can love and welcome one another despite our differences. In this text, it says when we have different convictions and how we should live out the Christian faith in certain areas. So let's start by reading today's text, Romans chapter 14, verse 1 till 12. We're reading God's word. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. He will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains abstains in honor to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We pray. Thank you, good Lord, that we are able to meet today on the Sunday, that we can all come together to praise you, Lord. Thank you for your word, and that you paid your life, that you encourage us, but also tell us when we do wrong. Thank you that you love us and that we can praise you. Be with us today, that you talk to us for your word. Lord, I pray that if I say something that is not according to your word, that that only your word is preached and not my word, Lord. Thank you for all your goodness and your love. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've chosen to summarize today's sermon like this. Do not judge or despise one another, but focus instead on how you live your own life before the Lord, for he is the one who will judge us. We have 2 points. First point is, do not judge or despise one another from between verse 1 and 3. The other point, live your life for the Lord, for he is the one who will judge us. In verse 4 till 12. So to the first point, do not judge or despise one another. In verse 1 till 3. Verse 1 till 3 said, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and I let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. So what is the problem that Paul is addressing here? Again, verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. So we have a clear command. Do not judge or despise one another. Do not judge or despise one another. What's their context here? Why are some judging and other despising in the Roman church? Again, we're reading verse 1. As for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. We see in the text there were two different types of Christians. We have those who Paul calls weak in faith. And then, on the other side, we have those we would call strong Christians. But see that Paul never says they're strong Christians, but he will still say strong to make it easier in the sermon for us. So he will call them weak Christians and strong Christians. Because we can really see there are some weaker and some stronger believers. What does it mean to be a weak or strong Christian? To be weak in their faith or strong in their faith? Without context, it seems strange. But let's look at the text to understand it better. So in verse 2, one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. So we have one that eats everything, and those are the ones who are strong in faith, and then the other one who only eats vegetables. And that's like if they were weak in faith. It sounds like one is negative and the other is positive. Strong is positive, weak is negative. But that's not how Christ is talking about it. We shouldn't see it as something negative or positive. So what it refers to is that the weakness or that the strength is related to what we know. In our Christian life, we got the freedom to choose for ourselves. We do not speak about sin, where the Bible is clear. We do not speak where the Bible says where something is clearly sin. What we talk about today is from the example here in chapter 14. So we're talking about people choosing what they want to eat and not to eat. So in their church, some people only ate vegetables, and the reasons for that could be very different. In 1 Corinthians, we can read about something similarly. There were some churches scared to eat meat, and Romans. If eating meat violated one's consciousness, it was better to abstain. But if someone understood that idols are nothing and that there is one God, then eating was perfectly fine. And the congregation in Romans had many Jewish and Gentile believers with very different backgrounds, some Jewish and some Christians. And some were still believing other gods, and they were eating.
Vissa församlingen som hade en likadan rädsla för att äta och för kött.
So many in this text were wondering if is it okay to eat meat or not. They were asking if the meat was clean to eat. So I said, in this church, there were Jewish and non-Christians with many backgrounds. Some of the Christians may wanted to have keep their kosher diets, perhaps because it's a habit or a conviction. And because in Rome, so you were not really sure if the meat was kosher, so you rather just keep the vegetables, perhaps. So what Paul says here, weak in faith, he's speaking about matters of conscience, not about sin. This is not a gospel issue. Unlike in Galatians, where false teachers demanded. So it's not about the gospel issue. It's so Paul takes this up also in Galatians, where some in the church demanded circumcision as a requirement for salvation. And that was denial of the gospel. But here in Romans 14, Paul addresses disputable matters, areas of Christian freedom, where we can decide ourselves. For us today, Christians in Sweden, this example may not be as relevant for us as in the Roman church, if we should eat meat or not. But there are a lot of other situations that may be more relatable for us today. So something he can think of is alcohol. Some Christians drink, some others don't. Some Christians choose to abstain completely for different reasons. Maybe you had issues before, or someone in the family with problems with alcohol, and that's why you abstain completely. Or something of Bible texts where it warns of alcohol. Then some people don't have a problem, they see, have the freedom of drinking alcohol as long as they don't get drunk. So if someone is sinning, we should tell that to each other. But this is not what this text is talking about today. There are also some other issues, like watching TV. If we don't even have a TV at home, we can watch TV with wisdom or not watch TV at all. Tattoos. Some would never get tattoos, some would get tattoos. Some think it's okay, some don't. Another example is what Bible translations one prefers. In this church, we would read the ESV or Swedish Folksbibel. We haven't decided which translation this church, but there are churches around, especially in the USA perhaps, where it's more sensitive what translation you read. Some people read King James translation. And some people only read the King James Bible. And there are so many examples that we could relate to. We could have Christians who have a strong conscience or a weak conscience, where the Bible is not crystal clear what we should do, since we have the freedom to decide. So the problem with this church is that there was judgment and despise to one another over those differences. They were judging each other and despising people who ate everything. And then one group despised the one, and then the other group despised the other. So let's accept each other. And are there people, or are there things in our life where we despise or judge one another? Could be things with TV or tattoos. Are we proud, and do we judge each other? Or do we love one another? Do we accept our brothers and sisters, or do we see problems? Do we sometimes focus on this, and this becomes sin because we judge one another? Paul tells us, do not do that. Accept one another with love without passing judgment. So let's love each other like we were called to between chapter 12 till 13. And that takes us to our second point. Point 2. Live your life for the Lord, for He is the one who will judge us. Verse 4 till 12. We're gonna read it again. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died, he lived again, and he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or you, why do you despise your brother? For he will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This section emphasizes how absurd it is for us to judge one another. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? If we're both Christians, we're both God's servant. Isn't it God who should judge us? The ones who have a weaker conscience are often the ones who judge harder. Paul gives two reasons why we should not judge others in these matters. One, it is not our place, only the Lord is to judge. How can one sinner judge another sinner? And who are you? a sinner? Should you really judge another sinner? So we all, no matter if you have a strong or weaker conscience, will all sinners who are where Jesus paid with his life so that we can be saved. We're all his servants. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? It is the Lord who will judge us. We servants do not judge others. And number two, God has already accepted our brothers and sisters through Christ. Because the Lord died on the cross to save all of us. It's only the Lord who can judge. And in verse 5 till 8 he continues. It's only matters we live our lives for the Lord or not. One person esteems one day is better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in the honor of the Lord, and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So we should really focus on how we live our lives for the Lord. Instead of scrutinizing others, we should follow the Lord as good as we can. And we really are his servants, his children. Don't focus on what others do when it comes to those questions we're talking about today. Think about yourself and your conscience. We're here in church to love each other and to take care of each other, to be one in a very radical, way. We're called to be one. If someone lives in sin, yes, we should take care of that and tell people that they live in sin. We have instructions in the Bible who we should take care of each other if people sin. But now we're talking about your conscience, how you live life, and always know that it's God who's judging you, not others. Verse 9, for this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord. The Lord is really your God, and he really cares about your life. Don't focus how others live their lives, where there's no clear instruction what the Bible says how to live. Don't focus on that. Some may have a stronger or weaker conscience in those questions, if you watch TV or not, if you have tattoos or not, if you drink alcohol or not. Paul's instructions are to not to judge each other and don't focus what others think, but what does God think? And follow that, live for Him. Paul reminds us lastly, Christ is Lord of all, and He will judge us. From verse 10 till 12. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or you? Why do you despise your brother? For he will all stand before the judgment seat of God. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Do you judge or despise your brother and sisters? Why do you judge them if God loves them? It's your brother where Jesus also died for him. God will judge us. We need to be righteous in front of Him. It's not for each other. So let's not judge each other on the areas we were talking about today, like Paul is saying here in chapter 14. Lastly, God has shown His love through Jesus Christ. Let us instead love and welcome one another. Let's not despise each other, but love each other. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for Romans 14, I pray that you remind us about this text during the day, that we can live like it. Please take our apologies when we haven't lived like this, and also give us wisdom how we should live our lives. Thank you for being so good and that you're here with us on this Sunday. I thank you for all we have in Jesus and that we focus on how we should live for you, that we live for you and not other people. Help us to remind us about this, that we fear you and not other people. I pray that you come with your Holy Spirit to us, that we can be happy in our hearts and thankful. I pray that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.